Yeah, we're back. We didn't go away for good. April Fools.
Bit late for that, Paul.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you to everyone who commented after last week. I confess I haven't really read many of the comments because I kind of just kept my head down. Just wanted to move forward.
You're feeling really shy.
No. Well, shy?
Yeah, you're a shy guy.
No, I didn't want to read anything that would upset me.
Oh, okay. So. We've had some emails come in, but we have also been away this week, so we haven't had a chance to reply to any.
Mm. Yes, we will reply to you all.
Fingers crossed, hopefully. We're not always best at replying.
No, we're not, because we have a lot going on. But we always say that. People are probably sick of hearing that. It's either if we're not whinging about health, we're like, ooh, they're so busy.
Everyone is.
Everyone's busy, aren't they? So all we're doing is echoing your own inner monologue, dear listener. So, you know, who really needs to shut up here? Probably yourself.
Just while we're here, I want to add in a little disclaimer. Before we recorded this morning, or about half an hour, 45 minutes before we recorded, Paul did say that he warned me that he's in a blunt mood today. So what? He said, just keep
Why
an eye on me during the podcast
because
I'm in a blunt mood. Well, because you've already started by saying, I can't remember what you just said.
Wow. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That thing that you just said, you just said it.
Yeah. That was blunt, was it?
Maybe.
So, we have a theme for this week because Sandy needs a bit more time to
because I've got nothing done this week.
Just talk over my explanation.
Oh, sorry.
Remember, I'm in a blunt mood, so watch yourself.
I am. I'm always watching myself.
Yes, Sanya claims she needs a little more time to do her sounds that can't be made notes.
Claims? What do you mean claims? We've been away this week on babysitting duties.
Yes, we were. He's a character, isn't he?
He's a real character, just like his granddad.
Yeah. God help anyone who knows him when he grows up. Let's hope he doesn't start a podcast. Let's hope for his sake he doesn't start a Marillion podcast.
Tractor Life will be his podcast.
Yeah, that'll be his thing. He just likes tractors.
Hang on.
What are you doing?
I'm just...
Oh, my God. Remember when I gave you like 15 minutes to get settled?
Sometimes you only realise that something needs shifting and changing once you're in the position.
I gave you 15 minutes to get into the position.
But the position's different when you're speaking and when you're waiting.
Okay, now I know I'm a hypocrite because I need to adjust my microphone because it's too high.
Ah, there you go.
Right, I'm going to try and do it very quietly because I don't want to have to edit stuff out. Is that better? There you go. Hope that wasn't too jarring for everyone. So we do have a theme for this week in order to give Sandra time to allegedly finish her notes.
What, allegedly?
You're out of speech, aren't you, for that big far-right conference you're talking at?
Paul, people might believe you if you keep saying it. Not going to a far-right conference and I don't hold far-right views.
No, you call it nationalism,
no,
don't you?
That's so not true.
You never use the words far-right.
Oh,
you just
my goodness.
Go, my nationalist friends. We're patriots.
Well, we know that's a
We're
lie
patriots.
Because I don't have any friends.
Yeah. Well, not me.
Oh, apart from you.
Yeah, and all our other friends.
Okay, yes,
you don't,
and our other friends.
You now no longer close friends. Interestingly,
no, they're all my friends.
I will say this about our friends. Mm. In the wake of last week's episode, only one of them commented on it. So either they didn't listen or they thought he's gone off the deep end.
Wow.
What? Yeah, I'm just saying.
Paul.
I just feel let down by all of them. all but Rich. I do. I do a bit. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
None of them said any support. No words of support from
Rich
any of
did.
Them.
Rich did.
Rich did, yeah, but then Rich is just lovely.
He is.
Yeah. He's a rescuer.
Oh, yeah, maybe the others were like, you don't need rescuing, Paul. You can handle it
yourself.
Yeah,
you don't
yourself.
Need it. You twat. Just get over yourself. That was their response.
That's so not true.
Anyway, talking of our friends. friends.
He's in a really weird mood today, everyone. Just warning you. This is how the day has begun here and is continuing.
Talking of our friends, they have been discussing next year's Meridian weekends, haven't they? Because apparently our friend Nick spoke to Lucy. He didn't elaborate on where or how. What are you doing underneath your blanket?
Nothing. Just squishing my belly fat.
Okay. It's distracting. It's really distracting.
I'm like massaging it to try and like move it along.
That's completely thrown me. Yeah, Nick claimed he spoke to Lucy and she said there'll be seven Meridian weekends next year. Now, we kind of knew that because I think there were seven last year.
I didn't know that, but...
You didn't?
No.
I wonder if any of them will be different.
Possibly.
Because we had two in the Netherlands, didn't we? There was the Berlin one.
Mm.
So we'll see. We'll see where they end up. But the big discussion that they are having, because I said, look, because they, if you remember, dear listener, we were meant to go to the Poland weekend the year before last.
Were we not meant to go last year?
Nope. Last year was Holland.
Oh, we didn't even attempt to go last year.
Not to Poland. They didn't go last year either.
Did they not?
We just did Port Zealand.
Oh, they didn't go to Poland last year.
Oh my God, this is unnecessary.
No, they did. They went before Port Zealand, didn't they?
No, Sanya, the year before before our Annus Horribilis.
Oh, yes.
Started with me discovering a week before we were due to go to Poland that I didn't have my passport had run out. There was no Port Zealand that year. Because it was straight after COVID and we ended up doing Leicester.
Right.
Okay. So last year, Port Zealand.
Oh, do you know I'm getting confused because
I can tell.
No, it was because of COVID and then they missed it and then they had two...
Back to back.
Yes. That's why I'm getting confused.
Right. Anyway, they...
Because I was like, if we went to one last year, then there couldn't have been one the year before, but there was because of the whole world situation.
The consensus with them seems to be that they want to go to Poland because they all got to go to Poland. We didn't, even though we had it booked because of, you know, as I say, we'd had a rough year. Didn't think, oh, she'd check my passport. So they all want to go to Poland again. And I asked the question, what are your reasons about, because we've not done the Poland weekend. You know, why do you love Poland so much?
We have to also add in that our dear friend Pedantony has been to Poland before any of those guys went to Poland and absolutely love it. And he's been raving about Poland for even longer than everyone else.
He didn't chip in on the conversation.
No, he didn't, but we have had his bigging it up from previous years.
Yes. Pedantony, I think, summarised his enjoyment of the Poland weekends are you basically... can stay in bed till 4 p.m. With your wife. The food's cheap, and you're just getting a lift after the gig to go back to your room. That. Whereas the other guys, their main thing was you can get really, really drunk really cheaply. That seemed to be the main thing. And then, in answer to my question, they just then started going on about all the carnage that they encountered and all the crazy anecdotes, which made me feel like an outsider, I'll be honest, and made me feel a bit excluded.
Oh my goodness.
Because they made new friends and bonded with them.
Well, you're friends with the new friends now too. I'm just going to take a sip of water, so block your ears, please.
Who are you telling this to?
Let me write it down.
You know what we need to get for these podcasts?
I told you I want those newscaster headset mics that you just flip the mic on.
No, what we need is you to be on an IV drip.
Do you know what I've wished for that in the past?
Really?
Yeah, I have wished for a hydration drip.
Yeah, me too, because... but with gin in it.
No, me, just water. I have never felt better than when I had an IV drip of rehydration
fluids. When did you have an IV drip?
When I went for the operation. I got rehydrated. No, actually, it was the car accident.
Before, sorry, you probably want to just...
What?
Sonia hasn't transitioned. No. When she says the operation, she had a hernia operation.
No, wait, I got it wrong. It was before, it was when we had the car accident. And then they gave me like a rehydration drip afterwards because I was like, oh no, they're not letting me drink any water. And they put me on this drip and I wasn't thirsty for hours and it was like the most miraculous, amazing thing I've ever experienced in my life. And I just thought, I need this more often.
Sonia's operation is going into Bian Pod law now.
Well, I'm talking about something else now.
Previously on. There we go. We've had our little edit point where Sonia glugs some water.
Sorry.
I mean, I know these podcasts sound seamless, but for me, it's like death by a thousand cuts. Like, literally.
I'm happy to edit them. Just saying. You don't trust me.
I'm too controlling.
I know.
But creatively, no, I'm not controlling generally in life. I'm very easygoing. Am I not? Who would you say is the most controlling out of the two of us in our relationship? What?
Definitely
in
you.
In what way?
Actually, no, it depends on what.
Whoa, that is not my experience.
It depends.
Of it.
No, it depends on the topic. Like, it depends on what area of life.
Creatively,
In some areas you are, in some areas I am. So we achieve the perfect balance, really.
Okay. Now they're all going to think I'm some controlling
beast of a man. We're both controlling in our own little ways.
So, what were we talking about? Yeah, so I don't know, because I... When it comes to those weekends, it's like I'm curious about Poland. I mean, you know, people might go, oh, go to both. I can't afford that. I mean, if anyone would like to sponsor us to do multiple Marillion weekends, just saying. I'd like to do Poland to experience it. However, my slight concern, this is no slight to our mates, is that their experience was based upon how drunk they could get. That was that, and that really, I love the social aspect. But I'm not
I didn't get
sure.
that sense from them.
Do you not read the bit about sense. Them drinking their way through the cheap cocktail menu? I mean, all their anecdotes that they've told us all seem to relate to drinking.
And that the gig is in the same venue.
Yes, and they can go and have a cigarette outside with Ian and Lucy. LB in the lift with H, that seems to be the biggest thrills for them. But...
I mean, they sound like valid thrills.
Yeah, I know, but you and I...
You would love them.
We can't do 3 days of drinking heavily like
oh
that.
Oh, God, I can't even do 1 day of drinking.
Yeah. We're too lightweight.
I
do one night. I can do one night.
I can't even do one night. I could do, like, one drink.
Whereas, I don't know, I like the whole chalet thing, being together. Also, I would like the privacy of having our own room and not having to share a bathroom with a bunch of drunks. That would be great. But I do like the sort of being able to all sit around by the fire and chat.
Yeah, that is nice.
It is lovely.
The back garden with the table.
Yeah, that's part. We're all in the same.
And it's such lovely weather, like springtime, and you see the geese everywhere and the trees are swaying in the wind.
The bathroom puts me off, but... the bathroom situation puts me off. But, yeah, I don't know. The thought that we can only socialise in the pub or a bar is sort of negative for me.
The restaurants are apparently really good and cheap.
We always seem to kind of be on a different schedule to them in Port Zealand. They seem to go and eat separately from us. I don't know why. I don't know. We always end up eating sort of separately a lot of the time. Which they regret, lest we forget them, we'll go, we're going to go for steak. And then we discovered on the last night in the Garden Cafe in Port Zealand that there was unlimited wine and beer. and steak, lovely steak, for less than they pay for one meal. Anyway, just saying. So I don't know. And also as well, if they're going to do the thing of 3 nights at Port Zealand, 3 gigs... and the others are only 2.
You feel like you're missing out.
A bit, yeah. I don't know, a bit. I mean, I know my stamina's not what it was. We're all getting older. But I don't know, 3 gigs is sort of special. I know there's talk of doing a gig on the Thursday, having a night off, and then Saturday, Sunday. I mean, it does make it longer, but, you know, that's okay, I think. You know, it means you get a night off before having to stand up again for 2 more nights. And you can have a nice, sociable night. But you make your own fun. Yeah. So anyway, we'll see. We'll see, because we've got a bit of time before its tickets go on sale. But anyway, to this episode's theme.
We have a theme?
Yes, we have a theme. Inspired by the greatest hits album, or the singles collection album that they never put out, All Things Aside. They never put it out because I came up with that title. I just think it was a missed opportunity after B-sides themselves. I've said this before. So, you know, we've had, what was it, six of one, half a dozen of the other, and them, mm-hmm. the singles box sets and stuff. But I thought what might be fun, because Meridian, I think it's fair to say that we've documented on this podcast that sometimes their singles choices have been questionable. I'm trying to be polite. Can't do that, can I? So at the time of their choice singles, you kind of go, why have they put that out? That's what you say. We say. I say. Own it, Paul. I say that. So I thought what we could do is we could go through all of their singles, starting with the Fish Era, and go, was that the right choice of single? Was there another track off the album that may have been a better lead single or second single or whatever?
Right, okay.
And I thought we could do that together.
Yeah, let's begin.
Well, let's begin in 1982.
Time traveling back to 1982.
88 revs per minute.
Right, we're here. 1982.
So Market Square Heroes, their first single. Well, it didn't come off an album.
Yeah,
so,
right choice. I think it's a great single.
I mean, I think as a first single, it's got everything.
Yeah, really. Perfect.
It's upbeat.
It's a crowd. I was going to say garnisher, but that's not
crowd.
What I meant.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Crowd garnisher.
Not crowd garnisher. A crowd garnerer.
I'm
like
sorry,
it gathers the crowd and lifts
garnerer?
Them up.
Garnerer.
It
now.
Garners.
It garners a crowd.
Yeah, like it gathers the crowd in its
gathers,
long
gatherer.
Arms.
A crowd gatherer.
I'm looking up the word garner. I swear it means.
Are you thinking of James Garner, the actor?
No, let me look it up.
You're questioning me. It reminds me of Tuesday nights, school nights. I used to hear the Rockford Files music downstairs.
I was correct. Garner, to gather or collect something, especially information or approval. But, you know, it doesn't matter. In this instance, it's a crowd. So we're collecting the crowd emotionally, mentally. Not physically, but in a sense physically as well, if we're in a live venue, and with the long outstretched arms of the music, lifting them up. And that's why everyone's jumping and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, also, they had three tracks recorded in a studio at that point. They couldn't put Grendel out as a single. And the other choice was charting the single, which I love, but I don't think that's single material.
Yeah, definitely Market Square Heroes.
Completely the
was
right
the
choice.
Best choice.
Only got to number 53, of course. Now, the first track released off Script for Jester's Tear.
Yes.
He Knows You Know.
Right, okay, let's read through the other tracks for our listeners who don't know them off by heart.
Oh, come We've on, who's going to be listening to this if they don't know every song?
You never know.
All right.
We've got Script for a Jester's Tear. He Knows You Know, The Web, Garden Party, Chelsea Monday, and Forgotten Sons. So the first single out of those, the first single released was...
He Knows You Know. I've already said that, haven't I?
Well, do you think that was the best choice for a first single?
No. No. I will say this. You don't have a lot of choice on that album because there are... Beyond He Knows You Know, there are no obvious singles.
What would you have picked as the
well,
first
choice?
Well,
hang on. Choice? Whoa. Oh, let me finish. We don't want to race through this. We've got to fill an hour. Let's not race ahead of ourselves. Yes, we're padding. Sanya claimed she needs
not
more time
claimed.
To do research. So blame her for this. She claims she needs more time. Why are you glaring at me and not saying anything?
Not claimed.
So, Yeah, it's not an album that is... It's only, I mean, there's only six tracks for a start.
Mm. The cat is eating its biscuits really loudly.
Sorry if you can hear chewing in the background. It's a cat.
It's like shaking its face. He's shaking his face into the biscuits. They're all jangling against the edge of the bowl. That's not what I meant.
Who can blame you for shaking his face into the biscuits?
Making them jangle.
We've all done that. Yeah, it's only six tracks, and it's a very proggy album, so it's not an obvious... there's no obvious ones on there, apart from He Knows You Know, in terms of length. However, mm-hmm. and it's all right, it's a dark song. It's a song about drugs. The drug song. Mm-hmm. And the second single was Garden Party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Garden Party had to be dramatically edited, not least to take out the sweary word.
Oh, right, yes.
Yes, to replace it with I'm Miming. So, with that in mind, are there any other tracks on that album that could have been edited similarly to Garden Party? I think there is one.
Wait, hang on. You didn't say what you would have chosen as the first single rather than He Knows You Know.
Did you hear a word I said?
Well, yes. But...
I said I think there is one that could have been edited down.
Go on then. Which one? Forgotten Sons.
I didn't just come out and go, I think no, that should have been the first single. Because again, drama. We're trying to build up a sense of storytelling here. I think a maverick choice for the first single could have been Script for a Jester's Tear.
I was going to say Script for a Jester's Tear.
You could have edited it down. All right, you would lose a lot of the drama. But hey, that's what 12 inches are for.
I wouldn't have even edited it. I would have... Okay, would you like to hear my tactic?
Please give us your tactic.
I started saying tactic and I meant strategy.
Right.
So my brain got confused. My strategy would have been release Garden Party as the first single because it's punchy, it's catchy, it's going to catch the crowd and once again with its outstretched music arms lift them up.
Okay.
Right. So Garden Party, a powerful crowd pleaser.
Yep.
That would have been my choice for the first single. Second single, you've got people that are already kind of familiar with your music. Go in with Script for a Jester's Tear.
Yeah, I think...
Unedited. Okay. Bold. Unedited.
The trouble is, this is what we've got to do in this exercise. We've got to also bear in mind the environment it's being released into. Okay? So the trouble is, Script for Jester's Tear is 8 minutes 40 seconds long.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, fine.
And Marillion will be looking for radio play.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's a good point. If we're considering radio play, that's quite a challenge then to edit down Script for a Jester's Tear.
Well, let me tell you
radio
this.
Radio playing length.
The original version of Garden Party was 7 minutes 16. They managed to get the single version down to 4 minutes 29.
But that would be cutting out half of Script for a Jester's Tear.
Sorry, go on.
Did you step on something?
No.
What would you like to say?
Nothing.
No, tell me.
No.
No, go on, say it.
No.
No, say it now.
No.
No, please. No, come on, say it.
No.
No, please.
No.
I can't. I'm incapable of sitting with the not knowing.
I've forgotten now. I've spent so long. No, I don't know. Garden Party. Yeah. I think Garden Party is certainly, as a song, it's tricky because Garden Party is sort of more segmented. Mm. Whereas I think there's more of a sort of build with Script for Jester's Tear as a track. But I think it's a harder one to edit down. But if you can chop out a kind of middle bit, truncate the sort of opening, you could still have a track with emotional wallop.
You get a skilled editor on it and they would be able, producer, they would be able to make something out of it. But if you're trying to get it down from 8 minutes to four, you're losing half the song.
Yeah, you are. It's tricky. Yeah, I know.
That's really tricky.
Whereas Garden Party, you're only losing sort of 3 minutes.
Which is still a lot.
Which is still a lot.
But, like, I can't really imagine any of the other songs.
No. I mean, there's no way singles. The web. I mean, got Chelsea, I mean, Monday as
Chelsea
well.
Chelsea Monday.
Can't see that being played on the radio. I mean, yeah, just go, what's this dirge? Sorry, Chelsea Monday fans. I mean, Forgotten Sons, I think, as well, probably...
That's quite long as well, isn't it?
Yeah, 8:21, too politically charged. I mean, the two shortest tracks on the album are Garden Party and He Knows You Know, so they're the obvious ones.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think a version of Script for Jester's Tear that somehow...
Mm, yeah.
I just think because...
The single... Just rewrite it for the single version.
If needs be. Because I think it's more representative of Marillion.
Yes,
whereas
yeah.
He Knows You Know was more of a outlier.
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, going through this, when I sort of started putting the ideas for this episode together, I think that's probably the biggest misstep that Marillion have made sometimes, is that their singles are not representative of the album as a whole. Rather than kind of going, this is who we are, that it's more like, okay, here's a Trojan horse to kind of, you know, trick people into buying our albums because they think they're going to get more of the same.
Well, do you feel He Knows You Know was like a Trojan horse?
No, less so. I mean, I still think He Knows You Know is a it sounds like Marillion, but I don't know.
It's not the best song on that album. I was going to say, it sounds like Marillion, but...
It's fine.
Maybe you could say it's a kind of Trojan horse in the sense that it's not the best of the album. So if you hear it and you think that's the best on the album, you will be pleasantly surprised.
Mm.
But if you hear it and go, oh, I don't really love that, I'm not going to buy the album, then you're missing out.
Right. Yeah.
So if you want to lure people in, then perhaps Script for a Jester's Tear might have been a better choice, along with Garden Party.
I mean, it's worth noting as well that even He Knows You Know was edited down for the single.
Oh, really?
The album version is 5 minutes 23 and the single version is 3 minutes 33.
That's quite a big chunk.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I made an error, by the way. Of course, charting the single wasn't on Market Square Heroes. So all of you that sent us an email before listening to the rest of the podcast, well, you now look stupid, don't you? Because I've corrected myself.
Oh my goodness, he's blunt again.
It was 3 boats down from the candy.
Beep.
Was 3 boats down from the candy on the B-side of Market Square Heroes.
See, that would make a great single.
Really? I don't think that's getting a lot of radio play.
Why?
I love it.
That would make a great single.
What, rather than Market Square Heroes?
No. I mean, alongside it.
Yeah. Starting the single was, of course, the B-side of He Knows You Know.
No, definitely not instead of Market Square Heroes.
So, all right. So here's what we're saying we think they should have done. They should have released Garden Party first.
Yes.
Garden Party is certainly... I tell you, though, just being devil's advocate for a moment, He Knows You Know is one of the less Genesis-y tracks on that album. Whereas Garden Party is arguably one of the more Genesis-y tracks on that album,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that it's very English, ironically, and, you know, sort of very proggy and widdly-widdly, whereas He Knows You Know has got a lot of attack. I'm just saying. So,
right.
You know, but then they were damned if they do and damned if they didn't. You know, they still got all the Genesis comparisons, even with He Knows You Know, which is sort of a bit spikier and a bit kind of more aggressive.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe they should have just said to hell with it and just put Garden Party out anyway, because they did. But Garden Party out as the first.
Single. Oh, I see. Yes.
And then Script for Jester's 2, edited.
Yeah, down, the edited version.
Edited down to 90 seconds.
Can you imagine?
yeah. I don't know. It's tricky, isn't it? On to Fugazi now. The first single there, I believe I have, on your notes there, Sanya, I have messed up. Punch and Judy was the first single off that album. And
well, let's go through the track listings on Fugazi, which are Assassin, Punch and Judy, Jigsaw, Emerald Lies, She Chameleon, Incubus, and then Fugazi.
Yeah.
So the first single released, from those tracks was
Punch and Judy. I just said
Punch and Judy.
I just said that. What?
And the second single released was
Assassin. We should have been the first single.
Yeah, that so should have been the first.
For God's sakes.
Assassin,
one of the few Marillion songs you can actually sort of dance along to, or at least jump along in time to. Why did they put Punch and Judy out at all? Sorry, I don't like Punch and Judy particularly. It's okay.
I get it, though. I get why they released it as a single.
It's short.
It's kind of punchy.
Punchy and Judy-y.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? So Punch and Judy, I don't think even had to be edited. The original was 3 minutes 22, and the single version was apparently 3 minutes 19, so they took a tiny bit out.
What did they cut out?
Every use of the word Judy.
What, 2 seconds worth? 4 seconds worth?
Come on. Punch and Judy is not representative of that album. Assassin more so, but also Assassin is just a great single.
Yeah.
It's a great single. Had to be edited quite a bit because the original 6 minutes 51, the single version was 3 minutes 39. That's a lot gone. And the album version also had some stuff taken out of it anyway. Famously, there was a guitar break in there that got taken out.
So they took out half the song for the single?
Effectively, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe they could do it for Script for Jester's Tear then.
Yeah, I have to say, though, the single version, I think you don't massively... You lose chunks, a lot of the guitar and the solo stuff. But I don't think it still holds up as a great song. Script, I think, is more difficult because I think Script is more party, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's more part
story.
Whereas Assassin is...
Yeah.
It's just a punchy rock song.
Mm.
Come on, that would have just grabbed everyone's attention, surely.
Mm.
But, you know, it came out after the album was out, so money ain't gonna know. Punch and Judy, though, as a single, I get it. I mean, I don't think Punch and Judy should have been on the album anyway. I don't think it's a great... It's one of the weakest songs on the album.
How long is Fugazi?
8 minutes 03.
Oh, another one. Yeah, okay. Do you think that would have worked as a...
Well.
A single?
I
like the end section feels like it's powerful enough to work as a single, but eight minutes, again, they're going to have to edit out a lot.
I mean, for me, of the other ones that possibly could have worked, I mean, obviously Emerald Lies is short, but that is not a single. There is no way Emerald Lies is a single. You certainly couldn't put Incubus out as a single.
No.
But I think there's an argument to be had for Jigsaw, which also the album version is only 6 minutes 51, so an easier one to cut down.
Oh, okay.
And it's a more straightforward song.
Mm.
Jigsaw, I was listening to it earlier. Jigsaw is, I think it's a tricky one because he's singing in that falsetto there at the beginning. And I think that, I was just trying to think, you know, this coming on Radio 1 in 1984, I think a lot of people would have gone, what the hell? But then it does evolve into something absolutely beautiful. I think Jigsaw's a gorgeous song. Mm. So I think an edit of that could work, a single edit, potentially. However, there is a massive elephant in this room that I'm going to throw into the
She Chameleon.
Mix. No.
Oh.
Cinderella Search. Not even on the album, but the B-side.
Oh, yes. Okay, I would have picked Cinderella Search.
They should have.
No, well, I would have picked Cinderella
for a
Search.
For a start, put that on the album.
Yeah.
Put it on the album.
Yeah, I didn't even realise it wasn't on the album.
What?
I know it's not written on there, but I've always considered it as a song on the album. I don't know why.
And there was even an album version and a single version already done. Because, not in time for the album. They did it afterwards. But there was the B-side of the 7-inch single was 4 minutes 19 for Cinderella Search. And the B-side of the 12-inch version was 5 minutes 24 seconds. So there was already a single edit. Cinderella Search.
Cinderella
Jesus.
Search, 100%. 100%.
But it wasn't, the tricky thing is here, it wasn't recorded in time to go on the album. It was actually sort of thrown together afterwards.
But didn't you just say that Assassin was released after the album was released.
Yes.
So they could have released Cinderella Search.
Afterwards, as a second single.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. I mean, yeah, but it would have been a non-album single.
That's all right.
Yeah, but the whole point of singles, especially back in those days, is to promote the album. You know, that's the whole point. Is so, all right, but, you know, Christ, you write a song of that quality, you record a song of that quality, re-release the album with it on there.
Yeah, good point. It probably would have been too expensive. But...
Well, and probably would have pissed off everyone that bought the original version of the album without it. But, I mean, yeah, that's the trouble, is Cinderella Search just wasn't done in time.
Hindsight is 2020.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? It's tricky. It's tricky to know as well what else is on there. I mean, you know,
out of the album choices that we've got on there that were recorded, I would have picked Fugazi.
Would that work though?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think it would.
I mean, I think Assassin first. I think that would have been my first choice.
Yeah, I think you can truncate a chunk of the middle of Fugazi and get to that kind of fist pumpy ending.
Yeah.
And it's more representative of them, whereas for me, Punch and Judy isn't.
Mm.
Yeah, Punch and Judy is a sort of unpleasant song at the best of times, and it's yeah, you know, lyrically it's unpleasant, and musically it's deeply unpleasant. So, you know, it's a bit catchy. It's great when you hear kind of, you know, a Marillion tribute band playing it. It's fun, you sing along, but yeah. Grimy song.
So what you're basically saying is kick Punch and Judy off the album and replace it with Cinderella Search.
Couldn't be done.
And then
because
make
they hadn't recorded it. But in an ideal world, yeah, they'd have delayed the album coming out even further and spent even more money on it. And then, yeah, kind of gone, that Punch of Judy, that's not cutting it. Yeah. I mean, I mean, none of them like that album anyway, because it was such a horrible experience recording it.
Oh, really?
And Fish, apparently, I'm sure we've talked about this, he wanted Punch of Judy to sound like Bo Diddley, sort of kind of shuffly kind of barroom rock song. And tried to explain that to the band, and clearly that didn't happen. That's why he had in his head when he wrote the lyrics. So that didn't work, did it?
Maybe one day he can re-record it that way.
I think he did re-record it on his Yin and Yang album.
Oh, did he? Yeah. And to make it like a barn shuffly?
No, not really. It just sounded like a slightly kind of rockier version of that. We should have a listen to Yin and Yang at some point, because they're the re-recorded versions of Marillion songs on there that he did.
I actually
think his version of Incubus is fantastic, and his solo version of Sugar Mice is lovely as well. The version of Kaylee is a bit superfluous and incommunicado. It didn't really work for me, but we should listen to them because it's just an intro. And also they recorded Institution Waltz, which is a lost Marillion song.
What album was it meant to go on?
Well, it wasn't meant to go on anything.
Oh, which era is it from?
It's pre-Script for Jester's Tear era.
It's
on a bunch of bootlegs. It's interesting. Yeah, I don't dislike it. It's just, it's more curiosity or curio more than anything else. So yeah, it was once Fish had joined the band, but before they got signed. And they never recorded it. And Fish wanted to record it at some point with Marillion, but clearly the rest of them said, no, mate, you do it with your band, eh?
They vetoed the decision.
Yes. So what are we saying here? We're saying in an ideal world, Assassin first and Cinderella Search second, but Cinderella Search would have been on the album in that ideal world. It wasn't, so we have to rule that out.
Yep.
Assassin first, without a doubt. I don't know. It's tricky. I'm going to say Jigsaw.
All right. You say Jigsaw. I'm going to say edited version of Fugazi.
Okay. And I don't entirely disagree with you. It's just whether it could be done.
I have faith in the producer.
Not the producer of Fugazi, you don't.
No.
Maybe the assistant engineer of Fugazi.
Okay, I have faith in the assistant engineer.
Who was, of course, Dave Meegan.
Well, I definitely have faith in him.
Okay, now on to probably the most obvious duh on this list. The next single was from Misplaced Childhood. It was the lead single, and it was
their biggest single ever.
Yes. Which was?
You're asking me?
Yes.
Or shall we go through the track listings? Misplaced Childhood. Yeah. Look, not all of our listeners are familiar with all the albums.
They're all familiar with the lead single.
No, not everyone is. Oh, with the lead single, probably, yes.
The lead single.
Okay, so Misplaced Childhood. What did you say?
Nothing.
Wait, what did you say?
I said the lead signal.
It's the lead signal. Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Help me, please. All right, so we had... coming in first, Pseudo Silk Kimono, followed by Kaylee, followed by Lavender, followed by Bittersweet, then Heart of Lothian, then Waterhole, Espresso Bongo, Lords of the Backstage, Blind Curve, Childhood's End, and White Feather. And the first single to be released was...
well, it should have been Pseudo Silk Kimono.
Why?
Of course not. Oh. Imagine that on the Radio 1.
You were freaking me out. I was like,
it's Gary Davis in the afternoon, and here's Marillion with Pseudo Silk Kimono. No. It was Kaylee, of course.
Yeah, and that was the right choice. I mean, you can't argue with that. You cannot argue with that.
You'd have to be a right idiot to argue with Kaylee as the lead single off that.
Yeah.
Even though, again, it's not particularly representative of Marillion at the time. I think it was more representative of where they went.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, you don't make a song that poppy and commercial and not release that as the single. You know? And it did its job because, the rest of the album might have been a dense, difficult concept album, but it was their biggest, you know, and it went to number one as a result of Kaylee. So the album version, I mean, although it's difficult to say because obviously sort of the songs will sort of blend into one. The album version was 4 minutes, 4 seconds. The single version was 3 minutes, 33, sacrificing most of Rother's solo in order to get it down to a radio-friendly size. There is another elephant in the room here, and this one's called Lady Nina, which was the B-side and was later released as a single in America. Sorry. The United States of America. I believe is how it's said.
It was released as a single from Misplaced Childhood.
Only in America.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the American record company thought it was commercial.
Were all of the other singles that were released in the UK also released in America?
Do you know what? I actually don't know. I actually don't know. I mean, Kaylee was. Kaylee would have been.
Sure
Lavender would have been. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, probably. They probably were. But
so they released 4 singles in the United States.
Again, you're asking me questions that I've either got to look up, and it's... let's just say yes. Okay. Let's say yes.
If you're one of our listeners and you live in the US of A or lived in the US of A in the 80s, please let us know.
Yes, please let us know.
How many singles were
released? There's going to be some Marillion nerds out there. Shogs will know. Shogs, if
he'll know.
Shogs, who's the only friend I've got left.
Stop. Shogs, did they release all of the singles? No. Did they release all of the same singles in the UK? No, start again. Oh, my God.
He knows what... did they release 4 singles from Misplaced Childhood in the United States of America?
Yes.
Did they release Kaylee, Lavender, Heart of Lothian and Lady Nina? Is what you're trying to get to.
Yeah, I was trying to.
Do you think Lady Nina would have worked as a single here?
No.
You don't? Why? It's catchy. It's a great song. Great song.
I don't know.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you don't like Lady Nina, do you?
It's okay.
What?
I don't think it has... I think it's okay, but as a single, I don't think it has enough power within it.
I think it's great.
The other three do have... they do have something about them.
Well, you've jumped the gun here then.
Sorry.
The other three, we know what you think about them.
The other two. No, yes, the other three singles Jesus aside Christ. From Lady Nina.
What?
Oh, my brain's not
this
on
is
track
our
with
first
me today.
Non-whingy episode back. People are like, who are, you know, what's happened to them?
No, this is how it always was.
Yeah, true.
And always will be.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, well, yeah, that's, now you know what I think about the other
okay,
singles.
So Lavender, obviously, the second single after the album came out.
No brainer.
The rare example of Marillion having to extend the single version because it was too short for radio.
Wow. Play. Was it the only example or just a rare example?
The only one, because the album version's only 2.5 minutes.
Wow. So they never had to do that again in all their music history. They never had to extend another single.
No.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
But that's interesting, isn't it? That was the one that they identified as that single material, even though it was only 2.5 minutes. And basically written as an interlude. You know, almost a linking piece.
Yeah, but there's something special about it.
Oh, there is. I mean, Christ is one of their best.
I think as soon as you hear it, you know it's got some sort of mystical quality that you just have to pick it out as a single.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's fantastic. I love it. Yeah, and I love the extended version. I love the single version. Mm. You know, because it's more what you love.
Yes.
I mean, yes, the extended version. It's a shame in a way that they didn't mix it with the Blue Angel section of Bittersweet like they have done. And Fish has done subsequently live because it worked. That works so well. You know, the whole The Sky Was Bible Black in Leon.
Oh, yeah.
It worked. It's beautiful. And instead, they just kind of stuck in another.
They might not have had that idea yet to do that as a single.
Yeah.
But hindsight is 2020, Paul.
Yeah, we're talking with hindsight. We should, now that we've time traveled, go back and tell them to do that.
Yeah.
And put Cinderella Search on Fugazi.
Yeah.
So Lavender, no brainer.
Yeah.
However, I think there's questions to be asked about the choice of third single, Heart of Lothian.
What? Why?
I know it's a classic. I know we all love that trilogy of Kaylee, Lavender, Heart of Lothian live.
Mm.
I think there's also an argument to be had for Childhood's End.
Well, it's Childhood's End is one of my all-time favourite Marillion songs. I love it, and I do listen to it on repeat when I listen to the album. What? Yeah, whatever, just move on.
What's going on?
I'm not making sense today. I do. Yeah. I said I do listen to it on repeat when I listen to the album, which means that when I listen to the album and the Childhood's End ends, I just play it again.
I think everyone knew what you meant.
Oh, right, okay. It's, I could see it working as a single, but also Heart of Lothian has so much.
Shut up, Kat.
Kat wants to chime in with our views.
Heart of Lothian
has so much like good energy to it. Do you know what I mean?
I always thought Heart of Lothian was a weird choice of single.
Why?
Great song, don't get me wrong. I always thought it was a weird... The structure of it is odd as a single. Mm. Whereas Childhood's End is much more... I don't know. I think it just works better as single material. And it's only 4 minutes long.
Yeah, Childhood's End...
4 minutes 30,
It's a tongue twister. Childhood's End is like a classic single choice, I think.
Mm.
So, yeah, I guess it is surprising that it wasn't picked. But at the same time, I kind of get why they picked Heart of Lothian.
I get it. I don't know. Even when it came out in 85, even then I thought, oh, that's a weird one. Even then, as a whatever I was, 14-year-old boy, I thought it was a weird choice of single.
Oh.
And didn't understand why Childhood's End.
Yeah, actually, if you're going for radio play and trying to get more new listeners in, probably I would have picked Childhood's End.
Yeah, that chiming guitar and those, you know, and it was morning and I found myself.
Oh, it's so catchy and uplifting.
Come on. Whereas
catchy and uplifting.
Heart of Lothian's got a great build. It builds great and it's euphoric and punch the air. However,
but for a single,
it's not as catchy.
Yeah, for a single, you want something that's immediately catchy.
Yeah.
Which Childhood's End. No, did I say that correctly?
Almost.
Childhood's End does have.
And of course, what you could have done for the 12-inch is tacked on white feather at the end of Childhood's End.
Yes.
And, you know, kind of said, you know, Childhood's End 12-inch version.
Mm.
So, you know, what idiots.
They missed, what they idiots. Missed a trick there.
They did. All right.
Oh, wait, what's this? Germany only single?
Yes. Well, I just thought, we'll just mention it. I do have a copy of it somewhere.
Why? Why was there a Germany only single?
Well, they were big in Germany and they released it, I believe, to promote the Welcome to the Garden Party gigs that they were doing that summer.
Is Welcome to the Garden Party a different song to Garden Party?
No. I have the 12-inch version of the Welcome to the Garden Party single, which is an edited version of Garden Party.
Edited to make it shorter or longer?
I'm talking rubbish.
Oh.
There's an edited version of Garden Party on the 7-inch. The 12-inch version, which I do own somewhere, because I picked it up on a school trip to Germany. Well, it was a school trip to Amsterdam, but we went to Germany for the day and I got it from the record shop.
Man, you must have been so happy.
Like, what is this?
Did you know that it had only been released in Germany?
No, I'd never even heard of it. I mean, it was
So you didn't know you were picking up a rarity.
I also picked up a copy of Brief Encounter, which some of you may be familiar with, which was released around the same sort of time. Brief Encounter was a sort of mini album. Again, I think it was only released in Germany that had some live tracks and Freaks and Lady Nina on it. Weird mix of studio and...
Why was Germany singled out, like out of all of Europe?
Well, they were big in Germany,
and
I don't
know. And the UK.
I don't
know. Okay.
Anyway, so it had a live version of Garden Party on the A side and live versions of Script and Kaylee on the B side.
Oh.
So, yeah. Whereas the 7-inch was completely different looking at Wikipedia. Sorry to just read from Wikipedia. But Garden Party edited version and the re-recorded version of Market Square Heroes, which I assume is the B-side version that was on the B-side of Punch and Judy. That was the B-side of Punch and Judy. It's re-recorded versions of Market Square Heroes and Charting the Single. No! Three Boats Down from the Candy. Stop saying Charting the Single.
You just love charting the single.
I do, actually. I do.
You love charting the single, but not enough to release it as a single.
Yeah. Sorry, my brain's gone to a weird place.
Where did it go?
Farting on Pringles.
Oh, my God. Why did I ask?
Oh, holding the tube.
No. No.
I'm quickly closing.
No. Yeah, but then the next person that goes to...
That's the joke.
No, that's horrible, Paul.
Hey, shall watch this, everyone. Do you remember yesterday when we were in the car driving back from our daughters and grandsons, and I said how, you know, those car carrier things, those trucks...
Oh, yuck. Can you not bring that up, please?
There you go.
No, don't. I feel sick just thinking of it.
You
don't realise... No, sorry. It does make me feel nauseous.
Let me just tell them what it is.
No, because you don't realise every time you say it, I get the image flash in my mind's eye.
Okay, well, cover your ears.
It's in my mind's eye. It makes me feel literally physically nauseous.
Cover your ears.
I'm covering my ears, but I'm already feeling sick because I've got the image in my brain.
I said, you know, when you see those lorries that carry cars on their backs, I said, have you ever seen those before and thought that those cars on their backs are parasites? And then Sanya started doing that. I've done it.
Okay.
You're free.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah?
I didn't hear it, but it still makes me feel sick, just the memory of it.
I'm as baffled as the rest of you, everyone.
So disgusting.
You ever want to get a funny reaction?
Oh,
from
of
Sanya?
All the things to visualize. Sorry, I can't stop feeling sick about it.
What the hell?
Don't you ever get disturbing images seared into your visual memory? How do you get them out? Think about something else. Think about something nice. Think about something visually pleasing. Something visually pleasing. Rainbow.
A rainbow.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, here's something visual for you.
Okay.
I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I'm going to put this up on Facebook and on Twitter. Why has no one ever drawn attention to the fact that I'm sure I have on here. This is sounding familiar as these words are coming out of my mouth. The single cover artwork for Sugar Mice, it basically looks like Steve Hogarth from the Dry Land video.
Let me send you
some links, Sanya, because this is going to blow your freaking mind.
The single cover of Sugar Mice. Oh, you've just given a spoiler to the next album.
Well, it's not really a spoiler. This is a Marillion podcast. I don't think it's a spoiler for anyone that we reveal what the singles released by Marillion were. Is it, Sanya?
Maybe.
I can't do this. Right. Sorry, everyone. Just entertain yourselves while I just send this to Sanya. Right, I'm sending you the Sugar Mice cover.
Okay.
I'm going to send that first.
Mm-hmm.
Right, airdrop. Right, there you go. Here it comes. I'm sending it across the room. Here it comes.
You're sending me the wrong thing.
No, I'm not.
Mice cover. Sorry, the other thing was coming through as well.
Was it? What was that?
The album listings.
Oh.
That does not look like Steve Hogarth.
Wait a minute. Wait until I show you this still from the Dry Land video. You ready for this? It's coming. This is going to blow your mind. Blow your freaking mind, Sanya. Ready to have your freaking mind?
It's come through in the wrong place.
Hang on. God. Look at that. How weird is that? Basically Steve Hogarth on the cover of Sugar Mice.
That is freaky.
It is, isn't it?
I mean, I don't think it really looks like him on the Sugar Mice album cover, but the style of the photography or the artwork
does look like him.
Is exactly very like similar.
Him. Looks exactly like him.
Very similar.
Who is that man on the Sugar Mice cover?
The Sugar Mice, he's not pouting though.
Okay. Yeah,
he hasn't got his mouth
He's doing the mad eyes that H does when he's trying to be intense. You know.
Wow.
And he's all drenched.
Almost like it's a premonition.
Yeah, I know. One of their last singles with Fish.
The artist was a psychic.
The artist?
Yes.
What's his name?
Wilkinson.
That's right. Marillion artist Wilkinson.
First name, psychic.
Yeah. Psychic Wilkinson.
Psychic Wilkinson.
Right. Okay. So, first single off of Clutching at Straws. An album, by the way, for those of you who still rue the fact that we only spent an episode talking about Clutching at Straws. We are going to go back and give Clutching at Straws the deep probe that it deserves.
Okay. Let's go through the track listings for our listeners who are unfamiliar with them.
You like doing this, don't
you? We have. So the album is Clutching at Straws. And the track listings are Hotel Hobbies, Warm Wet Circles, That Time of the Night, Going Under.
Hey,
Am I meant to read what's in the brackets?
I have to interrupt you.
Yeah.
It looks like the Brief Encounter album was released in the US and Canada to coincide with their tour over there, and it wasn't a Germany-only release. Sorry,
Or Welcome to the Garden Party?
Brief Encounter. It was a sort of EP.
Wait, well, so then what's the Germany-only
That's something
Welcome
different.
To the Garden? Oh, it's a separate thing.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Brief Encounter, right, which was released in June 1986.
Ah. All right.
Okay, sorry, carry on with that. I hate to interrupt you, but I know that there were people that were already composing emails to tell me what an idiot I am.
Okay, fair enough.
What would I do without Wikipedia?
I don't know. What would any of us do? Right, so we've got Hotel Hobbies, Warm Wet Circles, That Time of the Night, and then in brackets, The Short Straw.
Also known
Going
as the Warm
and
Wet
Under.
Circles trilogy.
Yes.
Going and Under.
Going Under, Just for the Record, White Russian, Incommunicado, Torch Song, Slange Navarre.
Are you actually hesitating on Slange? Like you don't know how to pronounce that? You, the co-host of a Marillion
you
podcast.
You have heard how tongue-tied I'm getting today.
Slante Mahath. Mahath.
Slante Mahath. Sugar Mice.
Racist, isn't it, Sanya?
Oh, okay. Well, okay, you pronounce it.
Slange Navarre.
Slange Navarre. Sugar Mice, The Last Straw, and Happy Ending.
I guess Happy Ending should have been the lead single.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, okay. If you're good, we're going to do that. I actually think, just for the record, wait a minute.
Do you know what happy ending is?
No, I can't remember it.
Okay, it's 8 seconds long.
oh god, that thing.
And it's someone laughing.
The laughing one. Yeah. No, that's awful.
Imagine if they had released that as a single. Imagine the 12-inch version.
Just laughing.
Yeah. What would have been good? You know how they had to expand Lavender.
Yeah.
They expanded Happy Ending with just like a completely brand new song, but still with the laughing.
Might have been good.
Yeah. I should try and do a remix, Happy Ending 12-inch version.
You know what I was thinking as well, but I didn't want to mention it because it was, I don't know, we'd moved on. I reckon Script for a Jester's Tear cut to single version, but as a dance track would really work. Oh, God.
Sorry.
That would really work.
You know how Parasites make you feel sick?
No, go, don't. Say it.
The thought of a Script for Jester's Tear dance version made me feel sick. I actually was sick. I was sick. I threw up.
Oh, good. It was my revenge then from... Oh, why are you making me think of it? I think it would work. Like, oh, you know, with a good
horrible
beat behind it.
Not Script.
Why?
Not Script for Jester's Tear.
You get a skilled musician to do it.
Oh, God. Awful. No.
No, come on. It could work.
Look,
really work.
I love...
Get Stephen Wilson to do it.
He wouldn't do that. I've loved the contemporary Meridian remixes when it's been a bit of fun. And, you know, I really actually like the Meridian and the Positive Light album, which is a reimagining of This Strange Engine. All those worked.
Mm.
Not Script. Come on, don't be
silly. But you say that now only because you haven't heard it. We don't know what we don't know. If you get like a really talented producer on it,
yeah,
I reckon they could do it, and it would blow
dance
your mind.
Remix.
It would blow your mind.
Script for Jester's Tear.
Or house music.
Like a Europop version of Script for Jester's
or
Tear.
Or techno.
No, don't. That's. Do you know what? If you're gonna say these sort of things, you really have no place on this podcast. I think we should fire you.
Come on, it could really
I should
really
fire
work.
You and get Rich. He's my Rich Shoggs, who's my only friend remaining on this podcast.
Wait, hang on a minute.
You.
Are you saying you don't count me as a friend?
Not if you're going to say stuff like that.
No, but you just have to trust in the process. You don't know that you don't like something until you hear it, until it exists.
I do know.
It does not yet exist. If we get someone talented enough to do it, they could do a great remix.
We're going
to
do this, are we?
Well, not we. The artist will do it.
The artist?
They can...
What's the name of the artist?
Well, we don't know yet.
Marillion. The name...
Marillion, if they want to do a remix of it, like a dance version remix...
Can we move on, please?
Yeah, okay.
First single from Clutching at Straws was...
Incommunicado.
Yes, and personally, I think it was the right choice.
Yeah, best choice.
I still remember... Because that was the first time an album came out when I was already a fan. So I was like waiting for that. And a mate of mine had recorded it off the radio. And we had, he let me listen to it on his Walkman after church. Back in the days when I went to church. And he let me listen to it. I don't know why I'm saying it like that. I went to church.
Yeah, oh, why? Like,
don't go anymore.
Oh, you can to. If you want to.
Oh, thanks. All right. Would that weird you out if I started going to church?
No, I think I could adapt to that quite easily.
Really? Would you come with me?
Yeah, probably.
You probably would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. It's just, okay. I can't get up that early on a Sunday.
They've got different sessions. They've even got evening sessions.
Have they?
Sessions.
Sessions.
I don't think they're called
sessions.
We're
here for a session.
I don't think they're called sessions.
Give us a sesh, Vicar.
No, I'm not sure about that comment.
Do you think Vicars ever get heckled?
Wow, I wonder. That's a good question, because there's that power imbalance, isn't there?
What's the church equivalent of Grendel that like, people should call out for?
Oh, my goodness.
Matthew 14!
Whatever the longest term story is.
Yeah. Right, so Incommunicado, yeah. So I remember listening to it after church. Still felt sounds weird saying that. And thinking it was awesome and thinking I can't wait to buy that. And it was exactly what I wanted. It just sounded to me like Market Square Heroes on steroids, faster and punchier. And yes, I know everyone says it sounds like a Who song. It's great. It was a perfect choice. It was very catchy. Straight in at number six. Boom.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sweet. Nice one. Love it. Nice. Let's have some more of that. Love it.
Yeah.
Second single, Sugar Mice.
Yeah, completely the right choice.
Yeah, fair enough.
Completely the right. I'm still weirded out, actually, that Sugar Mice wasn't a bigger hit. Because Sugar Mice only got to like 22, I think, in the UK charts.
Really?
And how is that not a bigger hit? How is that song not like huge? I think that must have been disappointing, actually, for them. Because if you think, you know, because Lavender was another top 10 hit after Kaylee. And then, you know, clearly Marillion were on the slide at that point, not coming out with another. So there's a question. All right, okay. So people who might have liked Marillion from Kaylee and Lavender, they're, all right, you forget Heart of Loathing because it wasn't a hit particularly. But then their next exposure to Marillion or Marillion's single is Incommunicado.
Yeah, shock.
Shock.
Shock to the system.
And it probably hurt the album and it probably hurt the...
Really?
Well, I think if you think about it, I mean, yes, Clash of Stars did well, but it did not do as well as Misplaced Childhood. So song with that there, in mind...
Yeah, what song on there do you think could have done
Mice.
But then you said it didn't.
No, but then it came out after the album. So, but it... Well, for whatever
you think
reason.
if they'd released Sugar Mice first,
I don't know. I'm just
before the album came out that the album could have done better.
I'm just positing it.
All right. How did Warm Wet Circles do? The third single release,
barely anything. I think barely anything. It. I mean, Warm Wet Circles was a really weird choice of single. That was another one that I remember at the time thinking. Okay, that's what you're releasing? I mean, I know there's not a lot on that album that's particularly commercial.
Yeah.
In terms of commercial single potential.
Yeah.
But Warm Wet Circles, because that middle bit just always, for me, just was part of that, of a longer song. And I remember them performing it on, I don't think it was Top of the Pops, there was a short-lived ITV answer to Top of the Pops called The Roxy. And I remember them playing it on that. And even then I just thought, this is a weird song.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'd pick it as a single. Can I offer you my two possibilities? I know it's not a favourite of a lot of people's, except for maybe our friend Mark. I think he likes it. Just for the Record is one of my favourite songs on the album. And I think it's like short enough and poppy enough or high energy enough to work as a single. And then the second one, I think, what do you think about Slange Navarre?
Yeah. Do you know
that's
what?
That's a fan favourite. That really gets people going.
That would be my choice rather than...
Rather than Warm Wet Circles, for sure. Just for the Record, okay, isn't as much of a favourite as Slange is. So possibly I might have picked Slange.
I'd have picked Slange.
I mean, personally, I would have picked Just for the Record, but... Knowing now with hindsight that I don't know why people don't like it.
I went to school with a boy called Paul Carpenter. And I bumped into him once at college afterwards. I went to college with him as well. I mean, I didn't stay at college. I dropped out. I'm a dirty dropout.
Beauty school dropout.
I was a beauty school dropout. I dropped out of beauty school to tune up cars and race them.
Cool.
Down storm drains. I was a greaser. I went from beauty school dropout to greaser.
Nice.
I had one of those flick knife combs as well.
Oh, excellent.
Cool, excellent.
Yeah. Always wanted one of those.
Yeah. And a flick knife I had as well. Just used to slice up cinema seats with.
It's vandalistic.
I was a greaser. That was our religion.
That's what they do.
Yeah. I went from churchgoer to
beauty school
student to beauty school dropout to a greaser.
You have really lived a life.
Haven't I just? I know. And I went to the moon. Anyway, yeah, I went to the moon. Why have I not been given a lift by H?
To the airport.
Or done an album with Pete.
Oh, you still can, Paul. There's still time.
What were you talking about? Yeah, Paul Carpenter. Oh, God, Christ, the digressions are out of control. I saw him once in the canteen at college, and he said to me, because we were discussing Clutching at Straws, and I remember saying to him that Warm Wet Circles was a weird choice.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, it is, but they haven't got a lot of other choice on there. The only other obvious single is White Russian. And I thought, nah, it's not. That'd be an idiot.
I did consider White Russian.
No.
Nah. It's not a hard no.
Oh.
It's not a hard no for White Russian.
Come on, Slange.
But
is there.
Slange
right there.
Is more. Slange is more.
It's also more single length already.
Is it? Well, how long is it?
444.
Oh, okay. 444. Yeah. 444. Oh, angel number.
Yeah.
There you go. That's our sign. Yeah, Slange, I think, is more of a. Just like a. An obvious choice.
Okay, so let's recap, right? What did we say for script? We said Garden Party first, followed by an edited version of script for Just a Tear.
Yeah, not the dance version for
No,
for
not
Paul.
The Europop version. Fugazi, we said we would have done Assassin as the first single.
Absolutely.
Followed by you wanted an edited Fugazi.
Yes, if... Yes.
I would have done an edited Jigsaw as the second.
Okay.
In an ideal world, Cinderella Search would have been on the album and would have been a single.
Yeah.
Misplaced Childhood, Kaylee, duh, Lavender, duh. What did you think?
No, do you know what? I'm going to go with Childhood's End.
You are? You've changed
your
mind?
Yeah, I've changed my mind because thinking about it, its length, its instant kind of energy. Not kind of. It's instant energy. It's an obvious choice.
Okay. Then Clutching at Straws, we think Incommunicado, yes.
Yep.
Although it might have scared the Kaylee loving horses.
Well then, okay, all right, before we finalise, so as not to scare the Kaylee loving horses, should we swap Slange for Incommunicado as the first single?
I don't think Slange is more Kaylee-like.
No, but it might be more accessible.
I don't know. I think...
For Kaylee lovers.
I think Incommunicado for me... Because you've got... This is the dilemma they had at this point. They were torn between, okay, do we... You know, I'm not saying they spent long deliberating over it, but they were in a position where they could have courted more a more commercial direction, a more commercial audience, or they could have stuck to their guns and kept appealing to their fan base, which Incommunicado certainly did.
True. I'm not saying not to release Incommunicado. I'm saying
release
Slange
release.
First.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah, release the release, but that's in the future. Release Slange first, then release... I don't think Sugar Mice should
Slange
have been released
first. Slange
is a
lead single? No.
Why?
It's not a lead single, Slange. That
yeah,
doesn't feel
could
like
be.
A lead single.
It could be. Then you release Incommunicado and then you release Sugar Mice.
All right, well, we're going to diverge here because I think it's Incommunicado followed by Sugar Mice.
You're going with the possibly scaring off the Kaylee lovers.
Yeah,
Kaylee
think it was
and
the
Lavender
right call.
Lovers.
I think in terms of the tracks that they had, those two, I don't think Sugar Mice is a lead single.
No, I don't think Sugar Mice is a lead single.
Great single, should have been a hit.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think Slange for the third single.
Okay, fine. What about Happy Ending?
Yeah, and then that the dance remix of that.
Fourth
single.
You're okay for that to be a dance remix?
Yeah, because you're not. What you're proposing?
R&B remix.
What you're proposing is like I don't know, repainting the Sistine Chapel with neon colours.
Yeah.
And
could
putting,
look good.
Putting kind of sunglasses on all the cherubs.
Love it already.
I mean, actually, it does sound like an improvement. It's a bit dreary, that painting, isn't it?
No, it isn't. I can't believe you're saying
it's a bit
that.
Dreary.
How can you say such a thing?
You love the Sistine Chapel roof, ceiling.
I absolutely love it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you love the nudity in it?
Yeah, it's my favourite bit.
You know,
that's why I go and look at it mainly.
Mainly children. That's a bit awkward.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cancel and delete.
Got a chance.
Okay, cancel and delete. I don't even remember what it's on. The only thing.
Oh, Christ. That's cancelled.
No, okay, cancel and delete. I was mainly thinking of like God's hand, you know, the famous bit with God's finger and Adam's finger touching.
Yes.
On the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah.
That bit. I like that,
you like
part
that
of
bit.
The painting. I don't really remember the rest of it.
I'm just having a look at a picture of it.
I haven't been for a long, long time. Adam, I've only been once to look at it.
Have you?
Yeah.
I went to the one next door, the 15th chapel.
Did you? It was really crowded when I went there.
I tell you, that Adam in that, I'm just looking at it. He's got a micro penis.
Hang on, let me have
a look. Have you seen it? He's got such a tiny penis. And tiny balls.
Okay, don't shame him.
Oh, I know, it's weird. It's like
well, okay, but the, you know, like he can only he can only work with what he's been painted
like
with.
A couple of figs, like dried figs.
Well, God's all covered up.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's a bit unfair, isn't it?
But have you seen Adam?
Oh no, it's not children. The rest of them are adult angels.
Well, no, there are some cherubs behind God.
Yeah, but cherubs aren't. They're not all naked,
look
really.
Look at Adam's genitals. Or is that Adam?
Paul, don't shame him. You know, it's not the size that counts. It's how you use it.
In his case, it's how you thumb it in.
Paul.
Best of luck, Adam. Miracle that any of us came along afterwards.
Oh my God, look at this angel's face. The one that's directly under God's armpit.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We should probably leave this discussion for another podcast.
Yeah.
The
art review podcast. The
religious art review. Shaming Adam's genitalia.
Poor Adam. What did he do to deserve that?
Well, he stole the forbidden fruit, didn't he?
I thought that was Eve's fault, you know.
Was it?
I blame everything on...
Did she steal an apple?
Well, it was the snake offered it to her.
What did Adam do?
She took the bite first and then she convinced him to have it.
Oh, so apparently. She was the temptress.
Apparently, yeah.
You went to a Catholic school, didn't you?
In yeah. Church. Yep.
Right. Anyway, that's our reimagining of Marillion Fish Era singles.
Wait, we didn't finish.
Okay, yes, there's the Thieving Magpie
single.
Okay, by that point, they released Freaks as a single off of Thieving Magpie.
Yes.
Yeah, fine, whatever.
All around the world?
Yeah, probably. Who cares?
What?
No, they'd split by that point with Fish.
Oh.
Yeah,
Thieving Magpie. But they still released it with Fish singing it.
Well, it was the Thieving Magpie. Okay, the Thieving Magpie was a live album that came out after they split.
Oh.
As a sort of goodbye to that era.
Okay.
And they released Freaks as a single.
Oh.
I mean, completely, yeah, whatever. You know,
how did Freaks, how well did, I know we probably talked about this when we did the podcast.
It didn't do that.
My memory doesn't stretch that far back.
I don't know. I'm going to say it got to number like 22 or something.
That's pretty good.
Well, I don't know. I'm saying that and I don't know. Right, I'll tell you instead. Right, in the UK, it got to, I don't know. I can't see. Now I've closed my laptop and now I've got to look up the discography again. Other people probably print out their Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Notes. Shut up. Don't. So rude to me. Right, where's Freaks? Okay, in the UK, it got to number 24, so I wasn't far off, was I?
That was a good guess.
Yeah, it was a good guess, but then I'm an expert. I'm a Marillion expert.
And Marillion expert.
Yes. I am the foremost Marillion expert. Ah, right.
Lovely.
Lovely. Well, that's the end of that. We will do the H era at some point. I mean, probably, now I've dropped something on the floor. That's probably going to have to be two episodes because there's a lot more.
There's a lot.
And also, it's a lot more kind of open for debate. H era singles, I'm going to say it. Fish era, I think they mostly got it right. When H joined, it was like the single choices were just went to pot.
So to be continued.
To be continued. But next week, maybe if Sanya, who allegedly hasn't done her notes.
Say allegedly.
Who allegedly hasn't done our Sounds That Can't Be Made notes, we might finally finish Sounds That Can't Be Made.
I don't think we're going to finish it.
We've only got, look, we've got four songs to do, one of which is Montreal, which is
super long.
Which is the lyrical, I know, but it's the lyrical equivalent of someone singing the phone book. There's not a lot to debate, is there, or discuss what it's about. I went and bought some shoes. Yeah. It's like H's Adventures in Dulcies. Or Freeman Hardy and Willis. Shoe Express.
I don't think any of those stores exist anymore.
Well, where do people buy shoes now? On the internet?
ASOS.
Maybe they exist in Montreal. That's what you haven't considered.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, okay. Thank you very much for bearing with us.
Thanks for bearing with us. Sorry again about last week.
Yes.
Well, not really.
But it
helped me.
You know what? It seems to have... It's interesting to see the energy shift in you since last week. It's like you just needed to get off your chest and it seems to have been the weight lifted and you've got your mojo back.
Yeah. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was all. What's wrong with me? Wish I was.
What's right with you is the question to ask. What's right with you?
But whatever is wrong with me.
That sounds so sarcastic.
Whatever is wrong with me is right for you. Ugh, talking about things that make you feel sick. Remember it came on in the car yesterday. I skipped it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that. You skipped it so quickly.
Ugh.
You skipped it so quickly, I didn't even notice.
Not a favourite of mine. Anyway, right, everyone, thanks for listening. We'll see you hopefully next week.
Okay, have a lovely week.
Bye.
Bye.